Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm still Robert, and you're listening to episode 93 for Monday, March 4th, 2019.
This week on the Two Bobs, we have a great episode for you, and it better be because it's been five fucking weeks since our last one. So we're going to talk about where the hell we've been over the last 5 weeks. We're going to talk about the beer we're drinking.
I got a call from Apple saying that I needed to be careful about how I use my phone. And this week, our crazy news involves bingo.
Try to do it without taking a breath.
I can barely even get it without coughing. This week's crazy news involves bingo, Coldplay, Cheez-Its, Cougar Attack, Windy Cocaine.
I get some window cocaine.
Beaver Asshole. And urinal cakes.
Perfect. For those of you who thought we were dead, I'm sorry to tell you, we're still alive and kicking. You know, everything in the world has been flung at us over the last month and a week, I think, since we recorded our last episode. And from power outages to family issues to illness. Yeah, multiple people sick. Today, I was sick. I didn't go to work because I was sick last night and throughout the day today. So honestly, it's one of those, like, if it hadn't been 5 weeks since the last episode, I might have just said, let's just skip this week. But it's been so long, I'm like, no. This is the best opportunity we've had to record an episode, even though one of us is sick. So we're going to do it. So,
well, I'm still fighting. Last week was, I think, trying to lose track here, but last week was me with the flu.
Herpes.
And I'm still feeling the effects of it. So I've been coughing. So I've got my finger near the mute button here in case I ever have to kind of cover myself up. But it's been rough, just the cough. And yesterday I felt like, okay, it's coming again. And then we couldn't do it because Ben got sick. So I thought, well, shit, I'm going to wake up today. I'm going to feel terrible and then just figure out some way to plow through it. And then you text me that you feel like crap. So we'll play it by ear. So, yeah, I think at this point it's just, we'll just have to plow through it. And hopefully next week is kind of when the see, there we go. Kind of when the world starts to resolve itself and we can get back to normal. Cause I've missed this.
I've missed it as well. I mean, when it gets to the point where I miss seeing your face, I mean, that's how we know it's gotten bad. So I'm kidding. But, right. Anyway, let's drink some beer.
All righty.
I do have to warn you. I brought a beer. I'm going to talk about the beer. I'm going to drink some beer, but I got to be careful.
Yeah.
Although I'm not supposed to. I mean, tomorrow, we're recording on a Friday night, and so I'm not supposed to work tomorrow anyway, but still, you know, I still have shit to get done. So anyway.
What you got?
So what I have is, I'm a little bit excited about it because this is one of the Barrel Aid series from Founders, and it is the last. It has been the only remaining of the Barrel Aid series that I have not had. So I ran into it at the store. I said, "Man, I have to get it because it's the only one I haven't had." And to be honest with you, I did drink a little bit of it, and it's not my favorite, but it's still a Founders Barrel Aid, so it's still not a bad beer whatsoever. And this is the Barrel Runner, which is a Mosaic hopped ale. Aged in rum barrels. It's 11.1% by volume, 55 IBUs. An inspiration from our barrel-aged beers can come from the most unexpected places, and our latest release is proof of that. Sweet and hoppy, rich and bright, this rum barrel-aged Imperial IPA brewed with Mosaic hops will make you believe you're in the tropics. Again, it's one of their... It's from my favorite brewery in the world, so I can't hate it. And it is part of their barrel aged. I think it's probably a really good beer, but just the fact the IBUs are a little bit outside of my palate, and it's an IPA. It ranks a little bit lower personally for me. So I did rate it 3.75 on Untappd. I'm going to try a little bit now just to kind of give you a little bit of a synopsis.
Look at that color. It's like orange.
It is. And so I'm getting a little bit of the, I get almost a little bit of like a maple from it. I'm getting the hops. I'm definitely getting a little bit of a citrus from it too. So I think it's a little grapefruity, but not too grapefruity, not nearly as much grapefruit as what I've had in some other IPAs in the past. So I rated it 3.75 on Untappd. Again, I think it's a good beer. It follows in line with kind of how this one has been rated. So I think it's one of the it's not the most popular out of the barrel aged beers,
sure.
But nonetheless, if you come across it and you're looking for a nice IPA, an Imperial especially, it's a pretty good one. I've had Founders a million times on the show. And I'm going to go through all of them because that's what we do. In case anybody forgot, since it's been so long since we've had an episode, I had a Founders Breakfast Stout TTB episode 12, America's Pastime. You've been warned. I had a Porter on episode 18, Betty White is Not Dead. I had a Sumatra Mountain Brown on episode 30, Four-Legged Undies. I had a DKML or Dickmal on episode 32, Ceremonial First Pitch. Episode 61, Big Bulbous Spot. I had a KBS, which is my favorite beer of the world. In the world, I should say. Episode 63, Shut the Fuck Up, Alexa. I had a bit still going. Backwoods Bastard. which is another of the Barrel Age series. Episode 66, which is Whacker's Wrist for Your Thumbs. You had a Dankwood. Episode 81, Human Spice Cookies. I had a Curmudgeon's Better Half, another Barrel Age in the Barrel Age series. So well, we've had
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so I mean, we've had a bunch. I should say there is one more in the Barrel Age series. I have the beer, and we're saving
me too.
We're saving it for just in case we happen to get to episode 100 at some point here. I will have one of the Barrel Age series to enjoy on the show.
I think as long as neither of us gets struck by lightning, we're bound to make that 100. We've been beelining it for it forever, and now
I mean, it could
the last month we're derailed, but we're back on track.
I mean, it could be 2021, but I mean, you know, it's gonna happen, right? At some point in the future.
Nah, life threw us a curve this time, but I've got something that I've had before, and I encountered it again not too long ago, and then I got one of these as a build your own from Christmas, which seems so long ago, but it wasn't that far.
It does.
But it's an Honor Brewing Company India Pale Ale. It's their Honor is what it's called, and I'm showing it up here on the screen. It's got the boots. So the Honor Brewing Company. Basically, what they do is they cater to either service veterans, that sort of thing, the people that have served. And one of the times that I saw them, they had a little tap thing at a baseball game, and each of the taps, when you would pull it to serve it, it had like dog tags on it that they actually built into the tap, and it had somebody's name on it. So you can submit the name of a veteran and a little bit of story about them. And if they pick it, then they'll actually put the information for that person on the tap. So it's a real life kind of way to honor these people. So they give back to veterans and that sort of thing. So
I feel like this is probably like a DC area brewing company, right?
It is. Yes. Yeah. It's here in Northern Virginia. And it says our goal is simple, pay honor, respect, and tribute to the men and women who serve our country while giving back. So I believe a portion of it gets donated as well. But anyhow, this is the Honor IPA, and it's not the Honor, it's the Warrior IPA. It says Warrior IPA is bold and flavorful American ale that showcases the intense citrus and pine aromatics of U.S. hop varieties.
That one was made in
China.
Sorry.
It's brewed with a mixture of lightly kilned malted barley.
Trying to throw you off.
Generous amounts of unmalted oats for enhanced body. Heavy late additions of nugget, xythos, and atenum hops. Yeah. Bring forth flavors. You knew that. Reminiscent of lemon balm, grapefruit zest, dank herbs, bright citrus fruit, and pine forest. I've been sipping it, and I'll go ahead and give it another good swig. And I think I already picked out what that description is going to explain what I can taste.
Kakina somehow ended up on the floor. I had to go get him.
Well, he's been roaming. He's been waiting for you.
I think he tried to kill himself by throwing himself off the desk. I don't know.
Well, this one I do taste. A bit of the citrus. I have the pine, those kind of flavors in there. A little bit of the lemon, a little bit of grapefruit. So kind of a mixture. It's not quite as citrusy as some IPAs. It has a little bit more of that pine, that earthiness to it. So I rated it a 3.75 on Untappd. So it's good. It's not up there with, you know, the best of the best. But I do, anytime I see it, I do like to grab it. And a couple of the restaurants around here have it. So, again, I do enjoy it. So if you're in the Northern Virginia area, try the Honor Brewing Company Warrior IPA.
All right. So if I'm ever in the D.C. area and I want an IPA, which probably won't happen,
yeah,
I'll try it out. I'm sure they have other beer, too, though. I might like
that. Yeah, they do. Yeah. They have other stuff. But it's really, again, it's going to be this area. So,
you done your taxes yet?
I did them. I have not submitted them, and I got an email from TurboTax to say if I send it in, I would save $30. And as luck would have it, as I do pretty much every year, I have that bit of a panic attack that something's going to come up that I'm going to have forgotten, and I kind of wait till the last minute. So, I'm not going to lie, and they suck this year. I was expecting that it would be where it has been the last couple of years, but watching the news was pretty blunt about saying that not to expect the same thing you had, and luck would have it, we were about half of what we expected, what we had been getting. So wow. It stinks.
I don't know what I did last year. I made more money than I did the year before. Somehow I got more back though. So, but I mean, you know, it's
this
just,
year?
Yeah. In 2018, I got more back than I normally, we usually get something back because I tend to over, I tend to withhold, you know, more than I need to during the year, just because I get nervous that something will happen. I don't know. It's one of those things. Like, I'd rather just not owe money. So I don't know. It's whatever. It is what it is. But you know, one thing that always happens this time of year though are the scam phone calls.
Oh yeah, yep. And I got one a couple weeks ago, and we tried calling them, but for whatever reason they were disconnected.
So wait, you never got the refund from Microsoft?
no, they owed me because Microsoft was going out of business, and they were trying to figure out how to get back to me. But it turns out Apple, you know, we like to use the Apple products. Apple is very concerned about what I've been using my phone for, and I guess I don't know if they want to owe me some money or not. But they left me a message saying that I needed to call them because. I don't know. I guess they were concerned that maybe my transactions weren't secure, so I've got their number, and let's see if they're actually still working on a Friday night.
Hopefully they're. I mean, it's a big company. I think they'd be 24/7.
Right? Well, I would think so.
Oh,
it's ringing. It's actually ringing.
You talking? Am I talking? We'll both talk. I'll be your attorney.
If they ever pick up.
Yeah.
My attorney doesn't take my calls. No. Attorney Eric.
Must have stiffed him.
Oh, you are busy.
Oh, man.
They must be using Microsoft's service here. Oh, well.
Oh, they got that shit on an Exchange server or something. Like
that. Wherever they were going to. how's your beer? You gonna end up finishing it?
I drink a little bit of it. I told you all about it, right?
Yeah.
I got to watch it because I got to lose. And again, some of the people that listen to this podcast know me personally. And if you've known me for years, you know, I'm a little bit of a yo-yo when it comes to my weight. I'm not going to lie. I go up and I go down. I swing pretty heavy too in both directions. So
yeah.
Regarding my weight, but I wanted to specify that just in case there was any confused people listening. But so I started a diet again. I've packed on a couple of extra lbs.
Yeah,
a lot of extra lbs. So I'm on a diet, and I started it on Monday of this last week, and I'm going to lose 100 pounds. In,
ooh, that's your goal
in 25 weeks.
How many years is that? Alexa, how many weeks is 25 weeks?
25 weeks is 25 weeks.
Perfect.
That's a long time.
That is. So I'm going to lose 100 pounds in 25 weeks. And what's funny is, though, because you may not know this, Robert, but I've done that before. And so
Well, I only really see you from like your shoulders up. I never see the rest of
you. Yeah. Well, you go back on Instagram and look at years ago. I was quite a bit skinnier, I'm not going to lie. So I'm going to get back there again. But what's funny,
your picture on Twitter. I couldn't even recognize. I mean, I did.
Oh yeah, that's right. I did post that on there.
It was like I took it in Photoshop and I use as a tool called Liquify that usually I do a lot of headshots and a lot of times they say, "Well, you know, I still want it to look like you." But sometimes people will say that, you know, I need like 10 pounds. Well, I can do that. It's still going to look like you, but the Liquify tool will kind of squeeze it. Yours was like the Liquify tool. Like, I wasn't sure how to use it. That's how thin you looked.
It was the first time ever trying to use it. You just completely fucked it up. Right. Yeah. So So I was quite a bit skinnier than I am now. Actually losing 100 pounds will take me past that picture, sure, as far as weight loss goes. But That's my plan. What's funny is I keep telling people at work, I'm like, yeah, I'm on a diet, guys. Just, you know, if you could just, you know, no be pizza. Supportive. You can, no, they can, they, I always tell, listen, it's not your fault that I'm fat and you shouldn't have to pay the price. I even told Kelly, I'm like, listen, eat whatever the fuck you want. Cause it's not your fault. I mean, she is a really good cook. So I blame her partially because she likes pizza as well. And also is a good cook, but anyway, so I keep telling people, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to lose 100 pounds in 25 weeks. And people are like, okay, well, yeah, it's good for you, buddy. It's good to have goals and to have, you know, I'm like, no. You don't understand. I'm really going to lose 100 pounds in 25 weeks. You want a cannoli
with your calzone?
By mid-August, I'm going to be 100 pounds less than I am right now. So I am, and the reason I'm talking about this on the podcast, because I'm trying to hold myself accountable, but I want to share my journey with everybody who's listening.
Episode 93, mark it down.
Episode 93. Rob is about to lose 100 pounds. I'm gonna lose a person, a small person, but a person nonetheless. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. And so that's probably part of the reason I'm not gonna, you know, suck down this beer and then drink another one, but also because I'm still not feeling well. But nonetheless, now,
are you allowed to have? I mean, I know you're in charge of your own thing, but it's not like you're limited. And I know you tried that before. At one point you had a diet and you were trying to be mindful of what you had. And, you know, honestly, like both of us, we started with the good intentions and then we just say, fuck it, it's too hard. But I guess this one, you'll have to do what you did before and just kind of watch how many you have, watch maybe the calories. And if it's a heavier beer, maybe you only have one versus two, or I guess they're going to be monitoring your progress. And
I mean, these people are like the fucking Gestapo, and that's exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
And they're not cheap either. Yeah. So it's one of those things like they hold me accountable. I got to weigh in 3 days a week. Like they don't fuck around. So technically I'm not supposed to drink any beer, but you know, I figure, you know, a beer a week, not going to kill anybody.
It's not going to kill you.
Yeah, we'll be all right. Maybe I lose 100 pounds in 26 weeks. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You've got a hard road ahead of you, but I know you can do it. But there's a whole shitload of people out there who are in a lot worse shape. And I figured we'll get into our crazy news and talk about them for a bit.
Let's do it. Yeah, I'm still way better off than most of these fuckers that we're about to talk about. So thank you for making me feel better about myself and bringing these news stories up that we like to talk about on the Two Bobs, as we do. And the first one is going to bring us to Canada land, where a bingo brawl at a Canadian nursing home prompts police response. No, I don't want you to send me news updates.
I hate that.
WGN9. So this takes us to Redieu Lakes, Ontario, a bingo game that they were speaking French. They were swearing in French to each other. Bingo game that at a long-term care facility in Canada devolved into a brawl Tuesday afternoon, forcing police to respond, according to CBC News. The scrum at the senior home started.
It was an altercation.
They went fisticuffs. They put their dukes up.
The
scrimmage at the senior home started with a disagreement between two women aged 79 and 86 over a chair, according to Leeds County, Ontario Provincial Police Constable Sandra Barr. We'll go with that.
So.
I think they could put the whole fucking thing in there. for us people.
I mean, it was
that
just typing. It's not like it's ink.
I don't know what a constable is. The two women, residents at an unidentified facility in Rideau Lakes, Ontario, had reportedly claimed the same chair and neither would back down. Rideau Lakes is located roughly 40 miles north of the U.S. border.
Oh, very small location there.
Yeah. It's probably not too far from me then. The dispute between the women turned physical and soon others joined, according to CBC News. No one was... So, two women started having a scrum and then other people jumped into the pile. Man, it's funny as I have clients that live in like senior living places, right? Senior communities, retirement communities. And some of the stories I've heard, do you know there's a lot of fucking going on at these places?
I bet.
Like
I
these, hope so. These old ladies here are sluts, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm worried about that. You know, I'm getting advanced. I got a birthday this month and.
Well, yeah, and if
shit, my numbers keep climbing up, I'm not getting any younger, and I think about that every now
I'll
and
tell
then.
You, though.
You know, driving to work, and I've got an hour to kill in the car. I'm thinking, you know, how much more time do I have? You know, at what point is this going to stop?
I don't know, but if you're in a retirement community and your dick still works and you're a guy, I think you're not too bad off. No one was.
Now, can I register for one of these places at 46? Is that too early?
I think there might be a minimum age, but you know. I don't know. No one was badly hurt in the altercation in the scrum, and no arrests were made. It was certainly an unusual call for us, Barr told the station. Whether the residents ever got to play bingo isn't known. Those are the true victims of this, the old people that were just trying to play a game of bingo and may or may not have been able to.
And how do they come back from that? Are they able to resume the game? You know, like when you watch the sports and somebody gets hurt, it's baseball, and somebody gets hit in the head with a baseball, and they stop for a little while, and then they have to get back into the motions of the game and warm up a little bit. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe they just got to save bingo for the next day.
They probably all ran off and hate fucked each other.
Probably. Well, nobody's getting pregnant there.
It's like banging a sandbox.
Yeah, that's true. Put a little salt water on it.
Hey, we're going to Florida. That's exciting.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to go right from Canada down to Florida. I feel like this could be any of us, but a Florida man who allegedly threatened his family with Coldplay lyrics ends a standoff after a SWAT promises some pizza.
So many things happening here.
There's a lot going on.
Wow.
A Florida man accused of threatening his family by texting them Coldplay lyrics and warning them of retribution from his, quote, Nazi prison associates were persuaded by police to end the standoff and return for a fresh slice of pizza, reports say.
Well,
Evan,
what the fuck Evan kind Charles of Coldplay lyrics, though? Are these?
I don't know. Maybe they'll tell us.
Are these people sad? Like, it's Coldplay.
Yeah, he's pretty like, happy.
They're not
maybe a little bit upset, but
gangster rap or anything like that. Yeah. Like, the hell is
well, Evan Charles McLemore, under the belief that SWAT team negotiators were ready to hand him one of America's favorite foods, was taken into custody following a 4-hour confrontation at his Pensacola home. Never underestimate the power of pizza with a flavored crust. Mm-hmm. Pensacola Police Department wrote on Facebook. God, I'm reading this one. I don't want to tempt you. While adding, officers cannot comment on the rumors about pineapple being on said pizza, operational security and all that. It was not immediately clear if responding officers even gave McLemore a slice, but they did deliver him charges of resisting an officer without violence and aggravated stalking, according to the Pensacola News Journal. There's a little picture here of them delivering the pizza, which I'll save to the show notes. The newspaper says the incident unfolded.
This is awesome, by the way.
The incident unfolded after police initially responded to a call about a possible battery and reportedly learned that McLemore had barricaded himself inside a room at the home. They added that he had called out, he had a gun to his head, and he was not going to go back to prison no matter what it took.
Oh boy.
After numerous attempts to lure him out of the room proved unsuccessful, so I was called in. They deployed the big guns, the promise of pizza. Yeah, an arrest report reviewed by the Pensacola News Journal said that McLemore has previously threatened harm His family evidently, his family eventually cut off communications with him, but not before he sent them one text with, oh, here it comes, with Coldplay lyrics, "Light will guide you home and ignite your bones, and I will try to fix you."
What's the problem?
Never meant for the band to be uplifting, though it's unclear how he may have meant them.
Yeah, but the lights ignite their bones. He's just going to...
Yeah.
Well,
hey, turn the light on.
That's not very threatening.
It's dark in there.
He angrily texts them, "Look at the stars. Look at how they shine for you and everything you do."
That's right.
Clearly he wants to.
Ignite your bones. Oh, wow.
Call it magic when I'm with you and I just got broken in two. Still, I call it magic when I'm next to you.
His mom was at $100,000, which is a lot of pizza. Oh, good old Macklemore. Hopefully he gets, he does get his pizza, although it's probably not quite as good in jail as it is at home.
No, he doesn't look like a guy who would like Coldplay. I think
total accident.
I think that we're not putting enough, giving enough credit to the fact that this guy threatened somebody with Coldplay lyrics.
Yeah, like I said, it's not like something that's known
Tupac
to be
or anything like that.
Yeah, it's not something that's known to be dreary or have a lot of aggression in it. They're generally pretty happy with some exception, but
Florida man is imprisoned after he threatened somebody with Barbara Streisand lyrics.
That's right. Too funny.
Oh boy. Let's see what we got.
Where's the next one take us? Oh, man. There's more food. I didn't really do this on purpose.
I feel like you did.
Nah.
Well, listen, as long as we don't talk, we already talked about pizza. As long as we don't talk about Cheez-Its, I'm fine. Oh, well, damn it, Robert. Look at this.
Yeah, as luck would have it. I won't even discuss if they're the Tabasco ones.
No, they shouldn't be. Just the regular ones are the only kind that you really need. But this takes us to Georgia, where family members say a man set fire to home after an argument over Cheez-Its. I could see it.
Legit.
I mean, I could see myself doing that, depending on which way the argument went.
Now, were they listening to Coldplay at the time?
Apparently, they're listening to Coldplay and setting their home ablaze. This takes us to DeKalb County, Georgia. For the family of an arson suspect said a bizarre argument led to the house fire. Firefighters were called out to a home in Creekford Drive, just north of Covington Highway, early Tuesday morning. Family members said a man set fire to his mother's house after they got into an argument over a box of Cheez-Its.
The woman's
son said his brother poured gasoline on the stairs and started the fire, trapping him and his mother inside. Luckily, they were able to get out safely. Not only did he set the house on fire, but he tried to trap them inside and burn them alive over the Cheez-Its. Investigators said they have filed arson charges against the brother. It was not immediately clear how much damage was done to the home. His name has not yet been released. Cheez-Its.
Yeah, that's worth it.
That'll do it.
I mean, they taste like shit, so don't do that. I would never eat Cheez-Its.
What the fuck?
I wouldn't recommend you do either.
What is wrong with you?
Wait,
you like Cheez-Its, right? No,
I do. Well, I was trying to trick you.
You just did a story about food.
I wanted to tell you.
But I mean, you don't have to
like reverse psychology.
You don't have to down Cheez-Its like that, though.
Yeah, I'd rather eat cauliflower. That's way better than that.
Should have eaten a lot of that.
Yeah, I'd burn my neighborhood down for a couple of stalks of cauliflower. That's for sure.
With a little bit of Mrs. Dash on it, because I can't use fucking salt on anything. Yeah, it's good. Some
butter buds. Now, did you hear about the guy in Colorado that got attacked by the mountain lion, and then he killed it with his bare hands?
No, I didn't.
Well, he's out jogging.
Okay.
And he said the only reason that he survived was because he didn't have earbuds in. So he was jogging on a trail. He hears something. He turns around. The mountain lion jumps on him and starts like trying to kill him. Well, he ends up kicking it and all that stuff and grabbed it and was able to strangle it and get away. But he had to go to the hospital and get stitches in his face and his arm and his hand. And he had, it basically latched onto him.
Yeah.
But yeah, he survived and he's been out on the circuit doing Today Show and all that. So this is a very similar story.
Good for him.
Yeah, this is a similar story. This involves a lady. It says arrest after victim survives a cougar attack. This is also in Florida. A 64-year-old Florida woman is free on bond after allegedly groping and grinding on a younger man who declined the defendant's sexual advances. And an offer, you get it now? And an offer to accompany her back to her residence. You got attacked by a cougar,
all right.
Yeah. Yeah, she's all right. She's 64. She's not ready to go to the retirement home yet.
No.
But I think when she is, she's going to be fighting over some bingo.
She's robbing the cradle.
Police charge that Marianne Zambrano recently got criminally frisky with an employee of a restaurant near her home. Charged with battery, Zambrano was pleaded not guilty, to the misdemeanor charge and is due in court March 19th. According to the report, the victim told cops he was standing outside the closed entry when the tipsy Zambrano grabbed him by his crotch and began touching him in the area. The man added that it felt like she was trying to lower his pants. Said she was trying to dance on him, during which time she rubbed her boobies, Rob, and body against his person. So, you know, this is written by the police.
Then after he finished. Grinding. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. He called the police right after he finished and cleaned up.
Right. No, that's true. After his nap, while grinding on him, Zambrano asked the man to come home with her. The worker told police he declined her invitation, but said that he offered to help her find a ride home since she was maybe trying to drive intoxicated. So there she was. Surveillance video showed that she did all this stuff, and she was released after posting $1,000 bond. I don't think she's really in any harm to anybody, but she's kind of happy in her mugshot.
No, she looks like she's having a good time. Probably because all the corrections officers are young males.
Yeah.
It's like, man, look at this. Yeah, I've won the lottery.
Decent lady for 64.
Christmas came early for this cougar.
Yeah, well, luckily nobody died like in Colorado. But never know what'll happen in Florida.
You never know. In fact, we're going to give a little bit of Florida a little bit more attention today, depending on when you're listening.
I like this one.
This morning, depending on when you're listening to the episode, I suppose. And this one takes us Florida again, where a woman claims Wynn blew cocaine into her purse. Florida's authorities said a Florida woman is blaming a windy day for the cocaine that police found in her purse. WPLG reported Kenesha Posey was one of two passengers in a car stopped by Fort Pierce police in late March. Police say an officer late March.
Oh, that's last year. That's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
We don't need to know that.
No. Just wait. I'll try again.
Okay.
WPLG reported Kenesha Posey was one of two passengers in the car stopped by Fort Pierce police just about an hour ago. Police say an officer smelled marijuana.
That's better.
And then after searching the car, cocaine and marijuana in separate bags were found inside a purse Posey had on her lap. Authorities say they questioned Posey about the drugs. According to the police report, Posey responded, "It's a windy day. It must have flown through the window and into my purse." Posey.
Oh, no.
Hey, when that happens, you just look down and there's just like drugs and drug paraphernalia on you, and you don't know how I got there. Oh, boy.
Yeah, the wind just blew a 64-year-old Florida woman right into my crotch.
Posey was charged with a felony count of cocaine possession and a misdemeanor count of marijuana possession. She was later released on bond. It wasn't immediately known if she has a lawyer. She might actually be a lawyer.
She could be.
She could. She's going to defend herself.
Wonder if she'd take my call. Last time I called a lawyer, he just ignored it.
He still gave us the answers that we were looking for, though, Robert.
True. Yeah, on speakerphone. So I really feel like the attorney-client privilege was probably jeopardized at that point.
Well, not to mention he's
not even in the right state.
He was half in the right state.
It's like three states wrong.
Yeah. See, I mean, so, you know, give the kid a break.
That's fine. Never been to Connecticut?
No. Why would I do that?
I don't know. Not really that close to you. This one will take us. And if we go back all the way, and you mentioned it earlier, which I had to laugh at, going through the times that you've had Founders. In episode 18, Betty White is not dead.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah. We covered a woman who was drunk on vanilla extract. And it turns out it's not all that uncommon. This one takes us to New Canaan, Connecticut, where police say a Connecticut woman charged with driving under the influence was drunk on vanilla extract, which contains a significant amount of alcohol. Hearst, Connecticut media reports that New Canaan police found 50-year-old Stephanie Warner Greasy sitting in a car at an intersection with her eyes closed at 4:45 p.m. on Wednesday. Officers say they found several bottles of pure vanilla extract inside her vehicle. Say they detected an odor of vanilla on her breath. Her speech was slurred and she was unable to answer basic questions. Police say she was arrested after failing field sobriety tests or filed sobriety tests. As this article says, Warner Greasy was released on a promise to appear in court. No lawyer was listed for her in online court records.
Well, well.
I saw an article earlier that because this kind of thing is readily available, that's what kids are using too. And this is not kids, but high school students. This is an older woman, 50-year-old. So she can buy alcohol.
Well, and the last one was too. That's what's really funny about this. Like, I don't know. Like, have you ever just tasted pure vanilla extract? I never have, but I can't imagine. Like, if you have an entire recipe that calls for vanilla extract, it's always like
a tiny bit.
It's like one eighth of a teaspoon that goes in this entire huge batch of whatever to flavor it with vanilla. So I can only imagine how fucking strong it is. The vanilla has to be just by drinking it, just raw dogging it. And just, you know, I don't know if raw dog is a way to say that, but
bareback.
I don't know what the fuck I'm saying.
No, what the thing about
it is, I only had two sips of beer. I don't know, but
it's very strong. And I have tasted it because I love vanilla. So my favorite part of an Oreo cookie is the vanilla. I like the vanilla inside. And I've tried it, and it's unbelievably potent. But the article that I saw that said the high school kids like to do it, they go over to Trader Joe's and they get the little thing, and it's I think 35% alcohol. So they said it's roughly a 70 proof, and they get their Starbucks and they pour it in that. So by the time they get to school, they're just walking around drinking their Starbucks, and they got, you know, basically a shot of vodka in there, or this vanilla extract. They put the whole bottle or two bottles in there, and they're drinking 70%. Alcohol basically by the time they get to class. That's probably what she did. Yeah. I don't know if she's drinking right out of the bottle, but I don't know.
That's fucked up.
That is rough.
All right. Well, let's take things back to planet Earth here and head over to our friends from World News Daily Report.
Yeah. This is more food, it looks like. And again, I'll have to apologize for this. I know this could trigger you.
That's all right. I feel like this will help me with my diet.
Probably.
This takes us to Freeport, Illinois. I don't know if you've ever been to Freeport, Illinois, Robert.
No.
No. Actually,
we do need it. Although we do need to find at some point, and maybe you're starting this diet journey is probably not the time to do it. But we've talked about this, and I mentioned it earlier. I've only ever seen you from like your shoulders up. But at some point, we have to get together, and I started to think of like ways to do it. So maybe a health food conscious place that we can visit and get together. So I don't know where you say Freeport, Illinois is the place to go, but maybe this article will help us out with that.
Maybe, or maybe this will just visit a third world country and eat. we'll hunt and gather and get our food. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It's in Illinois. The only place in Illinois I've ever been is Chicago. Actually, Kelly and I were talking about taking a little like a long weekend somewhere, and Chicago might be on the list, but who knows.
Cool.
It was either like Chicago or Vegas. Believe it or not, they're very similar in price to visit.
Vegas is cheap.
It is,
because they got all the gambling there, so they don't charge you anything for anything because they know you're going to leave money anyway.
Oh, exactly. But we'll see what happens there. I've told her the problem is she's like, well, this week it won't work, this week. I'm just like, just can pick a weekend. We'll make sure somebody's available. Then we'll figure out where we're going. But anyway. All right. So this takes us to Illinois, where a binge eater was hospitalized after gobbling up more than 30 pounds of urine.
What?
Gobbling up more than 30 pounds of urinal deodorizers. So if you don't know what they're referring to, you know those like pink hockey puck shaped things they put at the bottom of bathroom urinals. He ate 30 pounds of them.
It smells like flowers.
A man suffering from an eating disorder was hospitalized in critical condition last night after his cravings led to ingest more than 60 deodorizer blocks designed for toilets. 64-year-old Marius Hansen from Freeport in Illinois works as a janitor at a retirement home. Oh, it was like a fucking open line buffet.
Just finished a big round of bingo.
He was found unconscious around 11 p.m. last night by one of his coworkers. He's known for suffering from binge eating disorder, or BED, B-E-D.
All right. Yeah.
Which has led him to eat compulsively several things on his work site in the past, including toilet paper, plastic syringes, disposable diapers, hopefully not used, and even a couple of mop heads. Eric Frazier, the colleague who found him, no, Siri, I'm not, shut up. Eric Frazier, the colleague who found him inert next to an empty box of chemical deodorizer, says he immediately realized what had happened. There were dozens of blocks missing from the box.
Urinal cakes, Rob.
And his, that's what they call them. And his breath stank of perfume and chemicals. I felt like throwing up, but I knew he would die if I did nothing. Mr. Frazier rapidly called 911 before performing a heart massage on his testicles until the paramedics arrived a few minutes later. I was terrified. His mouth was foaming and his eyes kept rolling. Just before the ambulance arrived, he woke up again and began vomiting some kind of pink perfumed goo and coughing bubbles. Luckily, Mr. Hansen was transported to the hospital where doctors were rapidly able to stabilize him and treat his poisoning. He had even regained consciousness this morning and suffered from no apparent consequences from his ordeal. So that's good. Every year, thousands of Americans are hospitalized due to the consequences of binge eating disorder. Problem estimated to affect around 90,000 across the U.S. While most of these cases involved actual food or at least edible items, several dozen cases every year involved non-edible or even poisonous products. Over the past few years, some cases have involved things as various as foam padding, CDs, cigarette butts, nail varnish, even light bulbs. Even if most victims are able to survive and even cure of BED, more than 300 Americans. That's not me, by the way. This is fucking terribly written. How do you think this is fake news or something like that? More than 300 Americans die every year from eating dangerous or poisonous items.
Yeah, like urinal cakes, man. That's shit. That's good stuff.
Man. More great stuff from World News Daily Report. Head over there if you just want some, non-biased, non-fake news, not the stuff that Trump is always tweeting about. But, I mean, some of the other stories you can read about is the man on crystal meth. He kills 12 neighbors thinking they're zombies.
79-year-old man arrested for making wigs out of dozens of neighborhood dogs.
How about this one? A different man who was addicted to crystal meth nearly dies after chewing off his own penis.
A British man slept with hundreds of credulous girls while passing himself as Prince Harry.
So many good things. Maggots' third testicle removed, discovers it was a dead Siamese brother. A cannibal killer slaughtered and ate 23 pizza delivery men, six Jehovah Witnesses, and two postmen in the past 7 years.
A couple having sex outdoors in Bigfoot costumes gets accidentally shot by hunters.
Oh boy. Oh, man. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Great.
Now we're back, I guess.
Crazy news. I think so. Hey, hopefully what do you say we do this again next week?
I hope so. And hopefully my cough is gone and hopefully your stomach is back to normal.
God, I hope so.
You should eat better. Take better care of yourself.
I'm trying.
You
won't have that problem. I said, you know, pizza never did this to me. So I'm just no. throwing that out there. But
all these vegetables don't agree with me.
Just in case everybody's been so long, everybody forgot how to get a hold of us.
Ways to do that.
We do. You can visit us at thetwobobs.com. All the social things at Two Bobs Podcast. And we got a phone number as well. What's that, Robert? Where's the fucking drop? Probably lost it.
There she is. I noticed there that she has is. A phone number.
Yes, we do. It's 530-882-BOBS. Just 530-882-2627. You can leave us a voicemail or send us a text and we'll read it on the next episode.
I don't know
where that is.
Yeah, hopefully again
next week.
We're planning on next week. It could be next week. Always. It could be July. Who fucking knows? This might be the last episode of the year. Who knows? Happy New Year, everyone.
Very good about weekly episodes with very few exceptions. This is the first time in over 2 years we've had to miss that many back to back.
That is true.
Even more than one.
That is true. I don't think we've ever missed more than one. So no, you know, no. It's all right. We got you next week. We promise.
All right.
It's not us, it's you.
We'll see you then. Bye.
This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. No words of their own. Not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com, stop being a little bitch, and just own up and just do it.